Okay, we'll start Parshas Lech Lecha. By Ravid is the story of the four kings against the five. The Torah says, "Vahi b'me'amrochem al shina yerchem al chalasik v'dolam emachadim sidam al koyim." They made a melchama, asu melchama as bera mal sedaim as birsha melchama rishono melchadlo shemev melchum melch belahitzar. So the Torah goes into the story of the four kings against the five. We'll skip a few psukim. What happens is the four kings went on the attack, and it says, they attacked the king of Sidon, the five kings. And Sidon and Amor fell into those pits. These were like clay pits or tar pits. The four kings go take everything away. The Sidon, Amor, and then they kidnap Sidon. They kidnap Lot. Vayichu is light v'esruchushay ben achi Avram v'elechu v'hu yeshay v'sedayim. Rashi says what caused light to be involved in this mess, because he was sitting in Sedayim. There's an einish. Why are you moving to Sedayim? That's the story in the beginning of the parasha, that they couldn't get along. Vayhi riv bein rayim miknavom bein miknerayit v'akanani al baretz. It says vayisa light esayno v'yaris kol ki kayani ki kuli mashke. And he says, Light chose Sedayim. Big mistake. Leave Avram Avinu. Big mistake. Big tiny light. Anyways, so they kidnap Light. Vayavi Apalit, a refugee. Rashi says, Oig Melech Habashan. Vayagi Avram Avivi. He tells Avram that his nephew is kidnapped. Avram Avinu right now was living in Eleni Mamre. Eleni Mamre is near Chevron. Right before Ravid says, Vayel Avram Vayavi Avram Eleni Mamre Shebechevron. Okay, Eleni Mamre is in present day Chevron, right near the Marsa Machpelah. So they tell Avram Avinu that your nephew was kidnapped. Ben Achi Avram, your nephew was kidnapped. By the way, Avram was related to Lot how many ways? He was related to Lot two ways, because Lot was Sarah's brother, and he was also his brother Haran's son. So it was primarily his nephew. Torah makes an issue of that. It's his nephew, but we also know that he was a brother-in-law. He was Sarah, his wife's brother. I'm telling this to you for a reason. Okay. Vayishba Avram ki nishba achiv. Avram hears that his nephew was kidnapped. Vayerchas chanichav. He brings his trained tamidim. Yelidi Beisi. He takes 318 people. Very few, small army. These are world powers. Right? These are great kings. Okay, in the olden days, they didn't have big countries like we have today. They had city-states. But it could have numbered a couple hundred thousand, four kings against the five. He has 318 soldiers, Vayidof Adon, and he pursues them until dawn. Vayicholik Aleihem Laila, and at night he splits up the camp, and he pursues them. Ad Chayv Hashem Yismoil LeDamasek. He chased them all the way to Damascus. Okay, so just doing a quick hedgeman, just to put it to Google Maps, you can see this. How far is Chevron from Damascus? 200 miles. 196 miles. Avraham Avinu pursued them. He was in Eilein HaMamre. He chased them, basically, from here to Baltimore. Okay, by horse. No tanks, no anything. He ran after them. It maybe took a few days to do that, but he pursued them a few hundred miles. It's a mind-boggling. But Avraham Avinu did, because he felt what's right. Okay, and he captures them. Vayosher is called Rechush, gets everything back. Okay, so Melech Sedayim is so thrilled. Ve'itzah Melech Sedayim Likrosi. He says, he thanks him. And Maki Tzedek comes out. Melech Shalim, Rashi says, the Shem Benayah. And he brings wine and bread. He brings the victory, makes the victory Suda. And Vayevechevim, Baruch HaMel Kelim, Kanish Mayar, so Baruch Kelim, Shemigin Tzorech HaBiyadecha, and Baruch Hashem, he handed over your enemies into your hands. Vitnei Maisa Mikol. Avram Avinu gave Shem Benayach, who's a Kayin. He gave a Maisa. And then Melech Sedayim says, Tein li nefesh, give me back the people, but you could keep the spoils. And Avram Avinu swore, he said, I'm not taking anything from you. I don't want people to say that you made me rich. Okay, so on and so forth. Okay, very briefly. So what is the lesson here? What do we learn? Why did Torah write the story? What's the lesson here? So, the Ramban, you can take a look at the Ramban. The Ramban says very important that this story is extremely important because this is Ma'aseh Sim Labanim, right? The Ramban is like Dumit, the Sefer Breishis. Sefer Breishis is the Sefer of the Avos. And what happens in this Sefer materializes throughout history. some of it materializes in the Sefer Shmos. But the Ramban says over here, Hamaisa hazeh ir lavrom lahoyreis ki arba malchiyas tamoidna limshol be'oilom. Okay? There are four kings. The four kings represent. Who are the four kings? Amraphel Mel Shinar, Rashi says, Ravel. Ayyach Melech Elasar. Right? These are different countries. One may be, maybe that's a Persian country. Ayyach Melech Elasar, Kedolim Melech Elam, that's the Greeks. The Sido Melech Goyim, those are the Romans who spawned all the big countries of the Western civilization. So these four kings are the big four civilizations that are going to rule the world. The Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. To this day, we're living off what the Romans left behind, Western civilization. And what happens at the end? What's the end story? Avram Avinu. Zari Shal Avram Avinu eventually overtakes it all, and we win the war of good and evil, and we get back everything they took from us. All the things that they stole from us, we eventually get back. So there's a much bigger, like a cosmic picture here. Okay, but what I want to say something more about Pshute, what we can learn from this parasha. If you take a look at the Rabag over here, it's on. You can find it on Safaria, the whole Rabag. He says there are nine lessons what you can learn from over here. So we don't have to say all nine lessons, but I want to say two nekudas. I want to read you first of all. It's a Geshmak and Nekuda here. He says there are nine things you can learn. Some of them have to do with Midas. Some of them have to do with when you're waging war. Wait, no matter, right? If you have to make sure you get good soldiers. He only took the people that were brave. He made good strategy. He attacked them at night. Okay, some of them are just basic. Some of them have to do with Midas Tavis. So I'll read you the second Tayelis. The second lesson, or second advantage, or second necessary lesson we could glean from this parasha is the Midas V'hu she'ein roi la'adam she'alim einim miyanshe mishpachtoi. Don't ignore the plight of your relatives. Even if your relatives are not acting proper to you. It is a basic lesson, a timeless lesson. How many times we sometimes don't want to do the right thing? Well, did you know what that person did to me? He didn't come to my wedding. They invite you to the wedding. It's a big tikh. I'm not going to that person's wedding. When I made a simcha 2 years ago, they didn't do the right thing. Why should I go for them? Person has to be there for the relatives. Now, my mushal is not a great mushal because that's just going to simplest. But being there for your relatives is look what Avraham Avinu, who threw himself, he put himself on the line for a person that really, I don't want to say this about Avraham Avinu, but if it would be me, I'd really be hurt. It's my nephew. I raised him. The beginning of the parasha stresses this. It says, Avram Avinu takes Vayelech Avram Kasha Dibe Lav Hashem Vayelech Itoy Loit. He's looking after his nephew. He's putting his life on his friends. Avram Avinu is a busy man. He's giving a lot of attention to his nephews, protecting him, helping him. Loit gets rich because of Avram Avinu and says Vayhi Rav Baretz. Rashi says he only got rich because of Avram. So your whole life is owed to Avram, and then you get into a fight with your uncle. You have to split up. You have to move away. That's very hurtful. It doesn't matter. Avram Avinu put himself on the line by the king, four kings against the five. You have to be there for your relatives, even if they're not acting kashu. That's what the Rabbag says. Atayelos Hashem b'midas v'hu shein roi la'adam shalamein v'ashem v'shpachli afal pi shein misnagi moi b'mining haroi avaroi shi le'ezer. A person should be an assistance u'lahoyolem and help them b'cheskas yad, support the hand ki b'zeh agil adam mikreiv v'ezer roi v'shalam v'zeh hakibus hamedini. That's the best way a person should live in civilization. Haloi tirish Avram his gabri k'negad Avram lachum u'machneim imiyos gibarim. Avram even fought these four powerful kings. Okay, so that's the idea. So I have a Rebbe in Brooklyn. His name is Rabbi Aaron Shore, not related to the other Shores, but he's a Talmid Chacham in Brooklyn. He told me a very nice deal. The Rabbi says you have to be there for your family. So how is Avram Avinu there for his family? Because the Torah stresses that he was there for the kidnapped Loi, Ben Achi Avram, his nephew. So you see that the stress was only because you only have to be there for your nephew. For your brother-in-law, that's not what the Torah is stressing. Your nephew, you have to be there. He's your blood relative. It's your brother's kid. You have to be there for your nephew. Your brother-in-law, okay, that you have to think about. You have to know if it's, okay. It's just a humorous insight into the psukim. All right. What I want to tell you is something like this. There's a sefer called Drash V'Ha'iyun. It's written by Rabbi Aaron Lewin. He He was the last Reich Rav before the, he was killed by the Nazis. So he was the grandson of the Beis Yitzchak. The Gedol HaDor in Galicia in the end of the 1800s was his name was Yitzchak Shmelkis. He was the Beis Yitzchak. And his grandson was Reb Aaron Lewin. Reb Aaron Lewin has a very, he has a grandson that's still alive today. He's known as Nate Lewin. Right? Nate Lewin is now, I believe, 85 years old. He, Nate Lewin was born in Lodz. So he was born when this Reb Aaron Lewin, the Reich Rav, was still alive. He was killed by the Nazis in 1941. Nate Lewin was born in the late 30s. Anyways, we all know Nate Lewin. We know about right. He one of the they rank the Washington's best greatest lawyers. He was ranked number 2. Washington's great. So he's a very famous lawyer. He's actually in the news right now because there's the Dominion voting machines. So there's the guy from MyPillow, what's his name? Mike Lindell. So Mike Lindell was claiming that Dominion's threw the elections in favor of Donald Trump. So he was sued by the Dominion. Mike Lindell, MyPillow, was sued for $1.2 billion for making that claim, a defamation lawsuit. And Nate Lewin is actually representing Mike Lindell right now. Anyways, that's just a little history. So the Sefer Drash V'Yun is very interesting. This fellow, Baron Lewin, is an extremely talented fellow. In fact, when he was in the 30s or in the 20s, between the two wars, there was a Polish parliament. The Polish parliament was called the Sejm, S-E-J-M, called the Sejm. He was elected twice to the Polish parliament. Very talented orator, very, very, about the Bakishrin, and he had a very, very capable person. Anyways, because he had to go to Warsaw, he lived at that time in a city in Poland called Sambor, C-A-M-B-O-R. He had to go once a week to take a train trip, go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, be in Warsaw, because he's part of the parliament. From his town, Sambor, what was this? It's far. It's a 15-hour train ride from Sambor to Warsaw. So it says in his Akdamah to the first volume of Drash V'Yun, that the Sefer means a lot to him, because when he was taking those 15-hour train rides, he wrote this Sefer. Every week he'd go back and forth. First of all, the Sefer is massive, 5 fat volumes. And he wrote that he used his time productively. Unbelievable. He used his time productively. Put out, just on a train ride. Person train ride would be equivalent to going back there to people that travel back and forth to Eretz Yisrael. Imagine every time you go, you write another few pages. After a few years, you have a tremendous Sefer. It's unbelievable. Anyways, so I want to tell you over something from that Sefer. The Medrash says, What motivated Avraham Avinu, the Medrash asks? You know what motivated Avraham Avinu? Tzedek motivated Avraham Avinu. What's the Medrash bother mind? What's the Medrash asking? Zakt Reish Rav, Hadrash Vayyun. He says, beautiful. And what I love about the Vart is, besides this Vart's nice, and we should live by this Vart, but nothing in the Torah is haphazard. Everything is bedikduk rav. Okay, so most people, when you read the Parsha, most people, the Rabbah says it. When you learn the Parsha, it seems like, what motivated Avraham Avinu? They snatched his nephew. Oh, he has to, Zok the Reish Rav, no, Chas V'Shalom. You know what motivated Avraham Avinu? Tzedek. His inner sense of righteousness, his morality, motivated him to jump on a horse, take 318 men, and pursue these big armies. And it wouldn't have made any difference if it was light or not light. Okay, where does he see this from? Where did Chazal see this from? So listen here, this is the rule I want to tell you, because it's relevant to next week's Parsha. Okay, my mother listens to this recording, so I have to be careful. I want to say something. She's an English teacher. She's an expert in English, so I have to be careful. So every sentence has a predicate and a subject, right? Subject and predicate. So if I say Tom kicked the ball, Tom is the subject, kicked the ball is the predicate, right? In the Torah, whenever you have a subject and predicate, sometimes the subject is first, sometimes the predicate is first, and sometimes it's reversed. It's bedikduk rav every single time. So I'll give you an example, next week's Parsha. Next week's Parsha, it says that the Malachim come along to Sarah, and what do they tell her? What do they tell Avram? Who are they talking to? Avram. And then Sarah laughs, how am I going to have children? I'm too old. So then Hashem says, why are you laughing? She denied it. Anyway, so the Malachim says, Exact opposite. Before Pasuk Yud, it says, "Vihine ben usar shdeha." Your wife Sarah will have a child. Sarah is the subject. Having a child is the predicate. Here, it's the other way around. Ke'es chaya ulu Sarah ben. How come sometimes first the subject, then a predicate, then a predicate, then a subject? Zok to Raisharov, it's always been diktuk. And this is a rule that the Malbim says, the Ksava Kabbalah says, it depends what is the ikur in the Pasuk. When he's talking to Avram, what's the ikur? You're going to have a child. So therefore, in the beginning of the Pasuk, it says, you're going to have a ben l'sara ishtecha. Then Sarah laughs. And Sarah's going to say, maybe he's going to have a son, but it's not going to be for me. So what, over there, it's all the way around. Why are you laughing? Eish chayo, Sarah, ben, you're going to have a child, Sarah. So there, the subject and the predicate is reversed. Unbelievable. So what's the rule? Whenever the subject and predicate, we emphasize first what's the ikker and what's the tuffle. So he says, in this week's parish of Meiridik, take a look at the pasuk. So vayavi apalit vayagei la ramavini. What does he tell him? V'hu shaychim be'loinim amir evri. Achi onel v'chi behein bali b'savam. Vayishva Avram. Avram hears kinyish v'achiv. If he ran after the four kings because his nephew was kidnapped, if the emphasis is the nephew, then it should have said vayishva Avram ki achiv nishva. His nephew was captured. Why did Torah do it the other way around? Why is vayishva Avram ki nishva achiv? The answer is he ran because somebody was kidnapped for no reason. The evil forces are prevailing against the good forces. Something inside Avram Avihu, his righteousness, was invoked. It happened to be Achiv. It's not Vayishma Avram ki Achiv Nishba. Vayishma Avram ki Nishba Achiv. And that's the idea, that what motivates Avram Avinu? Someone like Avram Avinu, right and wrong motivates him, irregardless of the family member. It's the morality and the good versus bad. That's someone like Avram, that's what drives him. Okay, so just to summarize, what do we have over here? According to the Rabbag, the Torah is teaching us, a person should be devoted to the plight of his family members, even in case of the family members are not good to you. According to the Drash Iyun, it's the other way about it. A person has to be driven by an inner sense of right and wrong, regardless if it's a family member or not. And then finally, one thing we see in this is that the Torah is extremely precise, and even the subtle syntax of the Torah, everything in the Torah has meaning. It's up to us to mind the Torah and to discover the wisdom of the Torah. That's basically what we see.